Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, shenanigans, other stuff. A liter of cola at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, Jack Jack.
Yay.
Yay. It's for a cop.
No.
The sequel's coming out soon. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's...
So very excited. It's still season five!
Still season five? We're gonna... You know what? Carry on.
Oh, wow. I got Jack-Jack to turn his mic off already. That's amazing. But Jack-Jack, wait, there's more. Guess what?
What's that, John?
Now turn your mic off. This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors. Or at least, it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 Night Vision Goggle to the Maul C1 Plus and everything in between. TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander off. Pokemon? Maybe a burgeoning drug habit? Who knows? TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC, now with financing. Own or finance the night. The look of horror on your
face.
The
ad gets darker and darker every time.
Well, maybe if people would go and buy something from TNVC to help with that, they'll be able to find their way through the darkening ad. Anyway, joining us, Annette Evans. Annette, how's it going?
Good. How are you today?
Pretty good. So I didn't do much of a lead in there, but you are a former Team SIG shooter, attorney, author, entrepreneur, opening up Race Street Range somewhere in Pittsburgh?
Philadelphia.
I knew it
Other
was
end of the state.
I knew it was one of those P words.
That, swing and a miss.
Shut up, Jack. Nobody likes you anyway.
That's not true.
I know. You're like the crowd favorite, which makes no sense to me at all. You know what it is, actually? You talk less. I should take a lesson from you and shut up. So,
well, when you talk less, the things you say have more of an impact.
Is that what it is?
Kinda.
That's very deep. Like your impact. I want to make a Petty's mom joke now, but that's just completely uncalled for.
You leave Chase's girlfriend alone.
Ooh. So anyway, I'm so sorry, Annette. For those who don't know who you are and are not as impressed by my horrible lead-in as they should be, who are you? What do you do? And we'll hop right into what we're going to talk about.
So, as you said, my name is Annette, and I usually remember that most days. These days, I am focused entirely on starting up Race Street Range, which is a new members-only range in the Philadelphia region, and bringing in lots of training there. I shoot stuff and I write about it. That's pretty much all I do these days. It's a wonderful life, you know, when I can pay my bills.
Well, you know, I have heard that exposure pays mortgages. I mean, that's what people tell me. Hey, you want to do this cool project, bro? There's lots of exposure. It's like, huh. It's like I'm a photographer all over again. Jack's just shaking his head. So what I want to talk about, so you, I guess by the time this airs, it will have been a couple of weeks. So a couple of weeks ago, even though it was really this last weekend, you came out and took a class with Melody and I, and one of the conversations that we had during and after the class was standards and, like, you know, how you set those up and what they do, what they don't do, blah 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 blah. I guess what I want to talk about first with you is how often do you think instructors limit their students by giving them very low standards to meet early on?
That's one of the hardest things for me, both as a student, as an instructor. I think that people tend to rise to the level of expectation that you have for them. They right. may not hit that high level right away, but when you as an instructor show that you have faith in your student that they can do it, they'll get there.
Yeah.
When we have low expectations for them, they're too easy to meet.
So do you think that, you know, so like the one conversation you and I have had falls onto a very simple technique. And I know, and I apologize to the listeners that are not into like the esoteric stuff. We'll try and get out of the weeds in a second. But a lot of people teach new shooters a technique that's called pin and reset, which is to minimize trigger movement. They, Jack just like backed away from the microphone.
Good Lord.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
yeah.
Well, it's like, wow, Annette's growling at us already. Apparently no coffee or Snickers bars for Annette this early. So pin and reset is a trigger technique where to minimize trigger movement, as students are pressing the trigger, once they fire the round, they will pin the trigger to the rear of the trigger guard so there's no more movement, and then slowly reset the trigger. The thing that people oftentimes run into is that when they try and start shooting at speed, that causes issues, and it's horrible. It's difficult to break, depending on who you ask. Can you talk about your experiences with that, and then we'll get to the point, I promise?
Pin and reset is what I was taught to do. I have taught it to people, and I apologize to them now for that, knowing what I know today.
Yeah.
It's considered a great way to teach follow-through, and that's really the biggest point behind it, right, is to make sure that people finish pulling the trigger before they move on to the next task.
Right.
Which is fine and dandy and kind of important, but it just screws up so many things later on because you've got that really, really slow reset, and then, bam, you want to shoot again, and as soon as you reset the trigger, you're ready to mash on it. And that's not good.
Yeah.
I get why it's used as a teaching tool. I don't think it's particularly necessary knowing what I know today, and I really, really wish I hadn't gotten stuck in it for years.
Well, and so, and I know everyone's going to be like, well, what should you be doing? The way that I teach it, or the way that it was taught to me, is to reset the trigger and recoil so that during the recoil cycle, you just come off the trigger and you're ready to press it again if you need to, or not press it as the situation dictates. And Ernest Langdon was the one that I really saw pressing that first. I think I had started doing it before I actually came to his class and just didn't realize I had. Because at a certain point, to like reach a level of speed, you need to do it. You cannot shoot really quick until you start doing that, in my experience.
I think it also affects your accuracy, because if you shoot reset and recoil, or I learned it, prep the trigger and constantly prep the trigger,
right,
you might actually hit what you're shooting at because you're spending more time prepping the trigger instead of resetting the trigger.
Right. And Jack is now playing footsies with me under the desk. Wow, your legs are long. He's just shaking his head yes at me like, yeah, so what? Excuse me, I apparently was in your space, sir. I apologize. So I guess here's why I bring it up. It's one of those techniques that we teach to new shooters because it helps with a certain issue. But do you think it limits their growth later on?
I know it limited mine. It plateaued me for years. I couldn't figure out what was going wrong, and changing it opened up all sorts of new worlds for me in shooting. I think the biggest problem I see with it is that we forget to teach we're using this as a teaching tool. It's not something you're going to do permanently.
Right.
It's not something you should do permanently. That part of the equation is very, very often lost.
Huh. We got about 20 seconds left, so what I'm going to do is we'll go to break. We'll continue this conversation. Would you like me to call you Annette Evans from Ray Street Range? Would that be helpful? Would that be good?
Either one.
Okay. We're talking with Annette Evans from Ray Street Range. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. And you can also pre-order the new EDC X9 at wilsoncombat.com. The EDC X9 is a 15-round firearm with a grip circumference smaller than a standard 1911, yet retains many of the sought-after qualities and features of the 1911 platform, including the sliding trigger and manual safety. So I liked how you did the full pinkus there, Jack, when I came back into the show. Apparently you weren't expecting the welcome to.
It was actually watching a vulture hit another vulture in midair.
Oh, is that what it is?
Outside the window. Like, I was a little freaked out.
Yeah, it's very...
We've posted photos of it before, but you guys really don't get that. We'll look up.
Yeah, we're six stories up, and then there's like a vulture nest outside. Man,
and they're
creepy.
Huge.
Yeah.
They're gigantic.
It's like,
and there's just this glass in between us. Mm. I feel like we're the ones at the zoo. Like, we're the animals on display.
It's very Slaughterhouse 5.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you. Anyway, we're joined by Annette Evans from Ray Street Range. Now, before the break, Annette, we were talking about minutia of trigger control techniques. And I apologize to everyone that was bothered by that. But what I want to get into is, what are your thoughts as far as the industry goes? Do you think that we focus too often on what people, like the low standards that people are going to meet if they don't progress, and sort of slot them into that fate without meaning to? Like, do we set students up for failure by not pushing them?
I think it's hard because realistically, not everybody's going to be like us or like people like us who are at the range all the time, who are dry firing all the time, really, really trying to push hard. But I don't think that, you know, we have to settle for a lower level of competency, and we need to show people what's possible. We need to show people what's not just possible for a shooter in general, you know, the Steggers and the Vogels of the world, but also what's possible for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I started out as, I like to say I was the worst shooter in the world when I started out. We're talking like hitting dirt at 20 yards, trying to hit, shoot a pistol target kind of thing.
Right.
It was pretty, pretty bad. And I'm a fairly solid B shooter in USPSA now.
Yeah.
That's not because I'm a talented shooter or really good with the gun or anything. It's because I worked really, really hard.
Right.
You know, does everybody need to put in that time? No. You know, not everybody has that time. Not everybody has that drive, and that's cool. But they shouldn't go, well, I can't possibly.
Yeah. And it seems like, too, that the biggest catapult for most people I see is when they become aware of what, I'm not even going to say good, but just what competent looks like. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we just need better examples for people to follow, or what?
I think that's a huge help. You know, like, I troll Facebook and I'm online and I see people post some video or another of what looks like good shooting to them because they've never seen it done before.
Right.
You know, our favorite Instagram sub-second draws or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, people who shoot a lot can look at that and go, you know, that's actually kind of crap.
Yeah.
But people have never seen before what it looks like to have a sub-second draw.
Yeah.
They've never seen before what it looks like when someone, you know, blazes through a three-gun stage.
Yeah.
And if they could see that, maybe they wouldn't think, hey, I'm good enough.
Yeah.
Because I'm half as good as that. Most of us are never going to be half as good as some of the best.
Well, in the the analogy that I, you know, that I like to use is, because a lot of people are like, well, why should I dedicate this time and effort to this? And here's what I'll say. If one of your family members needed a life-saving operation, okay, and you took them to a doctor, and the doctor had met the bare minimum requirement to be in the position they're in, anybody in their right mind, if they knew that, would go, no, I want a doctor that is as skilled as I can find, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you treat the presence of the firearm as the, or the skill with the firearm, or both, as the doctor getting ready to perform the life-saving procedure on you or a family member, would you want that same doctor or would you want you being represented by this doctor to meet the bare minimum, or would you want to maybe be a little more skilled than that? And then people are like, huh, you know?
And that's especially true when we think about degradation of skill under stress.
Right.
Do you want to be half as good as you are at your best when your best is I can hit a piece of paper at 5 yards? Or do you want to be half as good as your best when you can shoot a single ragged hole at 5 yards?
Yeah. You know, and like a good example. So at a class that you were at or whatever, we do a mechanics thing that is not really representative of anything other than a best case scenario. What does your concealed draw look like? And I felt pretty cool. I mean, I pulled like a 1.05 from concealment on demand. I'm like, yeah. And then one of the students did a 0.99 and I'm like, boo. But, Scott showing me up, but no, seriously though, that 0.99 on demand in front of other people was really impressive. There's not many people that can do that.
Yep.
And everyone's like, well, is that a useful skill? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't see how it's not.
If Scott had a really
phrasing
day, really terrible day, sorry.
Yeah.
And he decided that, you know, his hands were cold. He was wearing an extra layer of concealment. Maybe he had a different gun and his draw was twice the time and it was 2 seconds. Well, that sure beats those of us who were closer to 2 seconds to start with.
Right, right.
Then they're 4 seconds from their gun coming out.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I've got to take a moment to just do a Facebook post about you cursing on air. Hold on.
why is it always the girls?
I don't know.
It's her and Melanie.
Beggar knows I'm a terrible potty mouth near guns.
Well, so what's funny is Pat Rogers, God rest his soul, was on the show a couple of times, and he was famous for every other word being a curse word. Do you know how many times he cursed on air? Zero. Whereas you and Melody both, Melody has cursed every time. No, she didn't curse last time, but she definitely did on her first appearance. So congratulations, Annette. You get one internet mention. But no, what you're saying though is that a lot of people like, well, you know, you wouldn't do that in a real fight. It would be slower. Yes, that's true. That having been said, if in a best case scenario, I can do a sub-second draw, and in a best case scenario, you can do a 2-second draw, and we have, let's say you have no degradation of skill, which if you're your best is a 2-second draw. I don't think it's going to go that way.
Nope.
And I see a 50% degradation in skill. I'm still a half second quicker than you. And the thing that a lot of people don't realize is the higher your level of skill, the less the degradation you see.
Yep. I flubbed my draw really bad on that one. You know, it was like, gun, where's my gun? I should put my hand around my gun.
Well,
and it was still flub too.
Yeah, you know, I will say that Melody is very intimidating. She was standing near you. She makes a lot of people nervous, just because she's very
frightening.
Yeah, she's very frightening. So We got about 40 seconds left in this segment, and then we'll keep going. So if people couldn't tell, you're a female and you're a shooter. Why do you think people make such a big deal about stuff like that in our industry? Real quick, and then we'll get into it more in the next segment.
They're totally distracted by the boobs.
Is that what it is?
Also, it's just, it's such a male-dominated world in so many ways, so we are the sideshow freaks.
Huh. That's such a perfect lead, and I can't do any better than that. We're talking with Annette Evans from Ray Street Range. You're listening to Ballistic Radio! Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better! This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it, and that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell Aziz Light ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining a light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now is a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners. You can get 30% off everything at the Surefire.com web store, except suppressors and batteries, by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS, that is ALLTHELUMENS, at Surefire.com. So we are talking with the foul-mouthed Annette Evans from Ray Street Range. Annette, before the break, you were talking about boobs and sideshow freaks, and then I had to interrupt you to pay for the show. I apologize. So you were, I'm so sorry. I see, this is what happens when I have people I'm really good friends with on the show. I tend to make fun of them on air just a little bit, and then people think I'm being horribly mean. Seriously, though, so I, you know, my director of training is a female. I never thought that, like, the industry was bad about how we treat females until, like, I watched people interact with her. And, like, now I'm just kind of scratching my head going, well, there's kind of an issue, but I don't know what it is or how to fix it. What are your thoughts?
Another one of my favorite topics.
I know. That's why I'm bringing it up.
I think that, you know, we have this really, in some ways, really great atmosphere in the industry where there's a contingent of guys who just really, really want to treat women with a lot of respect.
Right.
They go overboard. You know, they're a little bit too nice. That's a great job, honey. You hit the target. Yeah, well, I'm not beating you yet. That's not good enough to me. So, you know, they kind of take it overboard. They're too nice. And then you have another contingent who don't want the girls in the boys' club. What are you doing here? You know, this is a boys' game. If we're not nice enough for you, if we're too potty mouthed for you, then you shouldn't be here. You should just...
Inconceivable!
Really, Annette?
Sorry.
Really?
I might as well win that award with prejudice.
Now I have to pay Joe extra to edit this out. And Jack's in the corner laughing. Jack, I've turned your microphone on. Would you like to comment, sir? He's putting his headphones back on.
Come on, Smalls!
Jeez. Wow, there's number two. All right. So, either people are too nice or not nice enough, or just can't we just treat everybody the same? Is that the right answer, or is that too simplistic?
I think we need to treat people with the respect they are due and as individuals.
Right.
Which kind of seems like a cop-out answer, right?
I don't know.
But, you know, some people do need sort of that helping hand. They do need that encouragement of, hey, honey, you've made a great start. And sometimes people need to be treated just like one of the guys because they're out there, like, just like one of the guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, for me to be on the range, for somebody to say, I can't believe you did that. You just shot like a girl as an insult. I'm not really that offended it'll probably just make me shoot better. Ask Ben. On the other hand, that's not the right way to treat, say, a new shooter who's out for her third match.
Right. Right.
And she probably doesn't need to be told that's not good enough. Why didn't you get that pop? Why didn't you hit that target? Why didn't you shoot that popper over? She probably really does need to be encouraged with, hey, you made a great effort at that target, and I'm really glad you learned how to move on instead of getting.
Are we not saying phrasing anymore?
Is that something that we need to do with just women shooters? Maybe that's how we need to treat all shooters.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. Looking at it from the outside, people that use terms of endearment or like words like honey to a shooter, I'm like, I can't imagine I'd call a guy that, so I don't know why I would call a girl that. Me personally,
I would, but you know.
I know you would, but we've already clearly established that you sometimes say things that are inappropriate based off of the environment. Just saying. Oh, Jack's like dying and Joe's just wishing he weren't here right now. So, but no, seriously though, and let me get your take on this. The thing that I notice a lot of is that some of the people that teach have a very low emotional IQ. Maybe that's the right word for it. And cannot find ways to appropriately encourage the student that's in front of them, and instead are kind of left with like these trite, stereotypical responses. Yes, no, maybe?
Yeah, I think that especially it's really easy to tell somebody they're doing a good job when they aren't, because you don't want to hurt them or insult them.
And I made a student cry on purpose at class. And maybe
and she shot way better afterwards.
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah. And thanked me for it. But that's not something that I don't know how to like impart that to people though, like when that's appropriate and when it's not, and how to, you know, what's the answer here, Annette? I'd like to get your opinion.
I think we focus too much sometimes on when we teach firearms about the firearms part and not the teaching part and the presentation part.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us could benefit from learning about things like adult learning, about adult psychology. You know, that's almost more important than the actual gun part.
Well, and that's maybe the difference between like a really good shooter versus an okay shooter that's a really good instructor, or can you be both?
I don't see any reason you can't be both. I think it just requires a whole lot more work, and that's not necessarily work people want to put in, because taking an adult learning class is not nearly as cool guy as taking a high-speed shooting class.
Well, that's not true. When you show up to the adult learning class and you've got your plate carrier and you're gas-operated... AR-10, carbine.
Stop carrying at people.
Nice reference, by the way.
Did you like that?
We're not going to say where it's from, but that was well done.
Yeah, that's maybe Annette got it, maybe she didn't. I don't know. Or maybe it's just one of your coworkers. Anyway, I need to stop. The pop culture here is transcending the bounds of reality.
Well, we have to do pop culture references so we can override all of her cursing.
That's true. We do. I'm so glad that this is
under control.
Well, yeah, right? I'm so glad this is a recorded episode and not a live one. I mean, you can comment on air, Joe, if you'd like to. You're just going to let this car fire burn? Thank you.
Go Team Joe.
There needs to be more Joe in everybody's life. No, so... as far as, I don't even know what this show is about anymore. It's like a Seinfeld episode. yeah, I got a minute left in this segment.
Hello!
Nice, Jack. Nice. Here, say something else inflammatory to get people to come back after the commercial break, Annette. Don't curse, though.
I hate it. I hate it when people say that girls learn better than boys and girls are better at learning how to shoot than guys are.
Yeah, I haven't found that to be true either. Let's talk about that one when we get back. We're talking with Annette Evans from Ray Street Range, and she'll probably curse. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel DeVance, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by my incredible self-loathing. No, I'm kidding. Wait, do you like that, Jack?
It's funny because it's true.
Excelsior, we are joined by Annette Evans. Dear God, let's hope she doesn't say another four-letter word because each one costs me money. Because the producer's here longer to fix it. Anyway, Annette, you had brought up just before the break that girls do not, in fact, shoot better and or learn better than boys. Why do you think people say stuff like that?
Why they say it is a really good question. Maybe it's some misguided attempt to encourage women shooting new women shooters. Maybe it's just a misunderstanding of how adult learning occurs. Maybe it's just because they only ever had like three female students and they all did really, really good.
Here's what I will say. I don't think women learn better than men. I know I'm going to, God, the amount of hate mail this episode is going to generate. I swear to God, if a sponsor drops me because of this, it's completely my fault. And probably was long overdue. I have not found women to learn better than men. I have found women to have generally, not always, more of a growth mindset than men when they come to class.
Yes, that's true.
That's not the same thing, though. But I can almost see where they get confused.
I think that women are, you know, gross overgeneralization here, probably more likely to at least listen to what you have to say before they shut down.
Maybe. I don't know, though. I'm very lucky because the people that come, like, so one, the only class that we teach is a very niche class, at least at first blush. It's a crowd that's already, like, examining a problem from a point of view that admits maybe they need to go and learn something about it, right? Two, they're paying a lot of money to be there. Three, the emotional impetus that got them to come there in the first place is pretty serious, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Hey, I care about my kids, and I care about my kids enough to drop, you know, once you figure in tuition, range fees, ammunition, travel expenses, if they have them, you know, whatever. You're talking somewhere between, depending on how far they've come, $600 to $900, right? So, yep. Like, people that spend that much money and then aren't there to listen, I'm not saying I'm not going to run into it, and I have run into it, but it's not very common, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Maybe I'm lucky in the quality of my students. I have been, I think. But as far as like seeing a difference between genders or whatever, I don't know. I mean, I've not found one to be any better or worse than the other. The only difference I've found between men and women is like muscular skeletal issues that give men a slight advantage in certain tasks, and also like hand geometry issues that give men an advantage in certain tasks. Other than that,
I think men can get away with a lot more in terms of poor techniques than most women can.
Yes, exactly.
But where it gets tough with guys, especially I think in some of the less niche classes than you do and the lower level classes, is it's not uncommon for guys to kind of come up and think they sort of know what they're doing already because they saw on TV, they shot a bit at Boy Scout camp as a kid or whatever. So it's not really they kind of come in with a cultural knowledge and a cultural familiarity with guns.
Yeah.
Women tend not to.
Well, and so generally, like, so one of the questions we ask is, hey, you know, how many classes have you had or whatever? And we actually recently, and this is the first time I've had this, had a student come to class and be like, this is my first class, which I'm not going to lie, I prejudged, and I was wrong. But usually when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, oh, man, I'm nervous. But dude showed up to dude work and, like, was safe, pretty good, very impressive. But that's not the norm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was semi-completely unrelated to anything we were talking about. I don't know why I went there.
He was a standout.
Yeah.
That was very, very unusual.
I know where I was going with this. So as far as like getting people early on to recognize they need instruction, it seems like from the female side, we're really bad about not holding them to the same standard we'd hold anyone else, or maybe just being kind of patronizing in our encouragement. I don't know.
It's a nice circle back around.
Isn't it?
Standards.
I don't know how I just pulled that out of my butt, but I'm glad I did. So
that's a nice one.
Yeah.
I think there's an article that Kathy Jackson did a couple years ago about the dancing bears.
Right.
I don't know if you're probably familiar with this. So the dancing bear concept is that, you know, people would go to the circus to see this bear that danced. And it wasn't that the bear danced really well. It was a bear that danced.
Right.
And there's a bit of that on the range. It's a woman who shoots.
Yes.
It's almost like no matter how well or how badly she shoots, it's enough that she's a girl and shoots a gun.
I don't know how to fix that. I mean, I don't know how we change the culture of the industry fundamentally enough to fix that, you know?
To me, part of it is having more women out there who can really shoot, who can play on the same level as everyone else.
Yeah.
So that we no longer settle for the dancing bear, the girl who shoots. We see that women can be out there and beating the boys.
Right. Right. And I don't, you know, man, just everybody needs to go out and do more work, I guess is the answer, right?
Yeah. More dry fire, more range time.
So we got about 2.5 minutes left. You have, you've said all sorts of wonderful things.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Annette. And I mean that almost sincerely, pretty sincerely. What thought would you like to leave people with so that they can angrily look you up online and, and tell you what they think?
I think that, you know, really, we started talking about standards. We ended up talking about standards. And I think that people really need to figure out that they're not good enough.
Yeah.
No matter where you are not good enough yet. You can be better. You should be better. Find a way.
So when you say find a way, what's that look like for you?
Well, for me personally, that's spending an awful lot of time on the range, doing dry fire, but also thinking about what it is I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spend a lot of time in the weeds on technical shooting topics, and that's what helps me improve. But it can be so simple as 5 minutes of dry fire 3 times a week, or actually sitting down and reading a book about mental game, which is useful not just in the competitive world, or reading a book about shooting, or listening to episodes of Ballistic Radio. You know, it doesn't have to take a lot of time out of your life,
right?
But it's something that you need to find the time to do.
Yeah, no, totally. So if people would like to find out more information about you or Race Street Range or FCC violations and how they affect syndicated radio shows, where can they find you at?
My Facebook page is at facebook.com/blastingbeauty. I am also known as the beauty behind the blast. And Race Street Range is racestreetrange.com.
Nice.
Beauty behind the bleep now.
Ooh, nice. Need to
bleep
get a
behind the blast?
Yeah. We need to get a shirt made. Annette, thank you so much for coming on the show. That was great. I will certainly have you back on. Never live, though, because apparently we done learned today. So there's.
I'm trying to get better. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no worries. So be safe. I will talk to you soon. So anyway, guys, make sure you check out our website at ballisticradio.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. There's no FCC violations there ever. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it, and it helps us out. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.